Welcome to another great episode of Dream Business Radio. I'm your host, Jim Plum, the Dream Business Coach. This is the podcast to learn how to create your dream business so you too can live your dream lifestyle. By the way, I say you too because you are learning from someone who has done what they teach. I've created multiple six-figure businesses, and I do live my dream lifestyle with my wife, Stephanie, and my dog, Blue, and our floating home. So buckle up for some truth and straight talk about what it takes to create a dream business. I'm the founder and creator of the Dream Business Academy and the Dream Business Coaching and Mastermind Program. I coach entrepreneurs and small business owners at all levels how to build a business of their dreams. Today's episode is brought to you by the Dream Business Academy. It's a three-day live event taking place in Providence, Rhode Island. That'll be our seventh event. That is September 27th, 28th, and 29th. And this is a marketing and business building event where you're going to learn how to build your own million-dollar platform, which is exactly what I've used to create my businesses. Learn more at dreambizacademy.com, dreambizacademy.com. By the way, if you use the coupon code podcast at checkout, you'll save $100 off your registration. Again, that's dreambizacademy.com. Use the coupon code podcast for your registration. Really excited about this week's show. We're going to talk about a slightly different topic here with entrepreneur Whitney Nicely. Let me briefly introduce Whitney, and we'll bring her right on. Whitney Nicely is an entrepreneur who went from selling dump trucks to becoming the queen of real estate investing in East Tennessee. Whitney started to chase her passions and fine-tune her skills in the real estate market after college. She flipped her first house in 2009. Last year, she flipped six houses while planning her October wedding. Whitney's real estate portfolio has grown from zero to 17 residential houses, 19 apartment units, and seven chunks of vacant land across East Tennessee. Whitney's married. She's the stepmom to two kids, ages 10 and 12. She's passionate about teaching married couples how to build a side business together that helps them plan for retirement and doesn't break them up in the process. Yes, I think that would be important. How are you doing today, Whitney?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Jim.
You're welcome. So East Tennessee, I'm always wondering about the state. That's the Memphis side, right? Nashville's more middle of the state?
Nashville is middle of the state, but Memphis is the west side. I'm on the good side, on the east side.
The good side. I see. Cool.
We've got the mountains, and it's God's country on the east side of Tennessee.
Now, is that the Smoky Mountains, or am I still backwards?
Yes. Yes.
It is. Oh,
yes.
God, I love that country. That is some beauty.
Yes.
So do you live mostly and do real estate kind of in the mountain area or not so much?
Yeah, I'm down in the valley. Knoxville's in the valley of East Tennessee. And so most of my houses are on the east side of Knoxville on into Jefferson County. And I
mm-hmm.
picked Jefferson County because it's got a lake on two different sides. So there's two lakes in Jefferson County. There's mountains. There's a small community college or like a kind of community Baptist university is what it is. And there's lots of jobs in Jefferson County. I just thought it was the perfect spot to get started. And I love my little honey hole.
So tell me briefly, are you like a first generation entrepreneur or is there some entrepreneurial DNA?
My great grandfather started a trucking company in 1939. So I'm fourth generation entrepreneur. But you know, when he started, when my grandfather took over in the 70s, when my mom took over in 2011, you know, it wasn't being an entrepreneur. We were just business owners, and then we were small business
right.
owners. You know, like not this big fancy word that I can't spell half the time.
I always forget the extra E.
I know. Oh, man. So I'm a small business owner. I can spell that.
Well, good for you. So, man, when your grandfather or your great-grandfather started
great.
Back then, that was like the first trucks. I mean, they weren't much to look
yeah.
at. That's right at the beginning of that whole industry.
They were pretty much pickup trucks by today's standards, but they were big old things, you know, back then. And, you know, back
yeah.
then my uncle was born in the 40s, and he started driving before most kids, you know, really start to get into middle school because we needed drivers.
Right. Wow.
I think they say he was, you know, 13 or 14 when he started driving trucks. But, you know, that was back in the 50s and 60s, and we needed drivers more than we needed to follow some rules.
What did you, I'm curious, did you go to any college or right out of high school? Did you go to family business?
No, my mom worked really hard to make sure that my brother and I could both go to college. She did not go to college. And my mom, she has a brother, and they have the same dad. Well, my grandfather was an old school businessman, and he kind of was disappointed that he had a daughter. He was really excited that he had a son, but kind of disappointed that he had a daughter. So my mom kind of got the short end of the stick a lot. And so she made sure that I always knew that I was appreciated as being a girl in the family business.
Wow. So now I understand selling dump trucks. Was that the first thing you did is selling the dump trucks?
Well, I flipped furniture. I used to go to auctions and buy furniture from estate sales. And then I'd take it home, put it in my house, and, you know, kind of dress it up, doll it up, vacuum it, and I'd sell it on Craigslist. And so that's how I started selling, was I was flipping furniture for a couple hundred extra bucks a month. And, you know, I had to have my brother help me load it and drive the trailer and all that stuff. So that was my first sales job. But I was working at the trucking company, and when I graduated college, I went to UT. I'm a Vol girl. And when I graduated college, I had to ask my papa if he'd give me a job, and when I started, like, he was so detached from, like, being a grandfather, he didn't know my name. Like, he knew I was Kathy's daughter, but he didn't know I was Whitney and that I was great and that I was, you know, going to be able to help him. He was kind of disappointed that he was bringing another girl on to the family business. He kind of took a liking to me when I started selling the dump trucks, because he realized that the dirty old man we were selling these dump trucks to liked talking to me. And I was a pretty good little salesman.
Good for you.
So we started hanging out, and he taught me a lot about dump trucks. And he'd had a couple real estate investment companies. They still have real estate deals that they do, you know, as a family. They mostly focus on commercial and industrial real estate, though, where I focus on houses more than that.
Mm-hmm.
We've always had real estate.
I spent a lot of time in retail in my misspent youth, and I was managing a couple stores in my 20s, and I found out that men love to buy from women more than men, mm-hmm. and women like to buy from women because they trust them more than men. So I always had some women salespeople working for me. It was easy to see that. You know what I mean?
Yep. Well, he didn't see it in the beginning, but, you know, a couple deals in, he was like, hey, I think you're going to be good at this. I can see your potential here. And that's when
you.
We bonded.
Well, so when did you start flipping? Well, I guess you flipped your first house in 2009. How did that go?
Well, it was one of my mama's rental houses. It was actually the house that her and my dad lived in when I was born. And I graduated college, and I was living at home for a couple years, and I needed to spread my wings, but it was during the middle of the recession, and I couldn't afford to go anywhere because I was basically getting paid by them feeding me, you know? So we agreed that I could move into the house, but when we kind of took it back over and kicked the tenants out, they were month to month, and it was fine. But we kicked them out, and I don't think they'd vacuumed in the 7 years that they'd been there. Or, you know, wipe down the counters or anything. So we didn't check on the house. They paid rent. We figured everything was fine, right? So when we went back in, it was a disaster. You could smell the house from the street when you got out of the car. So we ended up pretty much gutting the whole thing and starting from scratch. So we weren't planning on flipping it, but we did. And then I moved in. So they didn't make any money, but I got a really good landlord.
Well, you got some good hands-on experience with that one, right?
I did. And then, you know, we got to where we liked it. And Mom started buying more houses, and I would help her flip those. So over the next, I think, 5 years, we flipped 6 houses.
Mm-hmm.
And it got to a point where I could see there was a system, and I could see that there was a rhythm to this. But they all, my dad, more than my mom, kept finding something to try to throw my system off. And I realized it was taking us way too long to do these houses because we were, you know, completely babying them. And instead of letting a professional go in and just knock it out, we were wanting to go over there and really be hands-on and, you know, touch everything. And it just wasn't a good system. It wasn't a system at all, actually. So in 2014, I decided, you know what? I'm going to do one by myself. And I flipped it in about 3 weeks, which would have been 6 months in parent time.
Wow. Good for you.
I learned a lot on that first flip by myself. You know, I was telling somebody about it earlier this morning. I could have done probably a lipstick on a pig kind of flip and maybe put $5,000 on it and still sold it for what I ended up selling it for. But I didn't know. I thought I still needed to go in and completely gut out the kitchen and both bathrooms and rip all the carpet out of the basement and baby it back up. Looking back on it now, I probably didn't because – you know, a lot of those houses that I flipped in 2015 when I was planning the wedding, I did lipstick on a pig, and I still, you know, if you invest $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 and make 20, that's better than investing 20 and making 20. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Well, that's
so
pretty cool.
I focus on the little flips now. Yeah.
And so you also are into apartment buildings. Is that a natural extension of doing residentials? Is it like a how big is
it
the apartment building?
They're little guys. I've got three. We've got a triplex, a 5, and an 11, which breaks down to a 4, a 6, and a 1.
Mm-hmm.
So 19 of them. I don't have, like, a big, huge thing, but that's a great story. I'm a boot camp graduate, all right? I went to one of the gurus. I figured out how to do lease options. I came home. I did 6 of them before my boyfriend was like, hey, I think you're really onto something. This isn't a scam. I was like, thanks for participating. Mm. So another couple months went by, and he was still kind of like, I'm not really into this whole real estate thing. I was like, you know what? Forget it. We've been together long enough that you're either going to get on board with this real estate thing or you're going to have to take a hike. And so he thought about it pretty quickly and decided that I was right and he needed to get into real estate. But he didn't like the houses, and he thought he would like apartments. So we signed up for apartment boot camp, went, and by the time – we were done with that weekend, we had 2 under contract. We didn't have our triplex under contract yet, but, I mean, I move pretty quick. I'm an action taker. And he really got into the apartments, and he totally nerds out on all of the, you know, cap rates and the formulas and the this and that and the other. So that's our thing that we do together is the apartments. He still doesn't like my houses.
But that's really exciting, though. So I'm curious just about the apartments when – do they need a lot of work, or is it you just taking over the building and upgrading units as they turn over? Or?
Well, on our little triplex, that's how it went. We found it on Craigslist because I was looking for houses on Craigslist, and I just found this triplex. We ended up buying it for $92,000, and it rents out for $550 a month. So not anything, like, crazy, but it's a lot better than what I get on my houses, you know? And
right.
Last year, actually in 2016, as each unit came up, we flipped it a little bit. I mean, you know, just like $2,000, nothing huge, but it didn't need a lot. And for $550 a month, you don't need, you know, granite countertops. You don't need a lot of other extra stuff. So that was fine. But the bigger ones we bought, it was funny. The guy that owned it, he bought them in like 06 or 07. Maybe 08, and he was a school teacher, but he lived in the community where these apartments are. These are the only apartments in this zip code, and he flipped them. He got money from the bank to buy them, and then he borrowed more money when they were handing out money like, you know, popsicles in July, and he redid every unit as it came up. But then because he wasn't, like, trained to be a landlord, he was a school teacher, he didn't know, you know, some things that he should be doing, like screening tenants before he let them move in, he ended up getting some bad nuts in there, really, and
yeah.
He couldn't make his mortgage payments, and so they actually went to foreclosure. So while they were in foreclosure, there was a sign up, and I knew they were for sale, but I was buying houses, and I talked to the agent that had them listed, and you know, I knew they were available, but they just seemed too far out of reach. Something about them didn't make sense to me, and I didn't know how to calculate apartments, you know, when this first started. But then, you know, later on in the year, we went to apartment school. We figured out how to calculate them. And while we were there that weekend, no joke, that agent called me because I guess I was the only one interested in them. he called me and he was like, hey, we're going to drop the price on these things on Monday. You need to be ready with an offer. And I was like,
wow.
You know, sometimes everything just lines up perfectly, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't think it's necessarily that I'm lucky, but that I'm out there and I keep it all stirred up all the time so that when something does happen, I'm top of mind, you know?
So you got the system down now. You're doing houses, apartments, and I'm assuming the boyfriend you're talking about is now your husband.
Husband.
Is that the October wedding?
Yeah, he got a clue. he got a clue and got on board.
Oh, there you go. So what makes you want to start teaching other people how to do this?
I love it. I absolutely love it. And, I mean, deeds and dirt have always been just kind of in my DNA. And the thing that I really like about it is I like the negotiation. I like making the deal happen. I like to get to closing, too. But by the time we get to closing, I'm already, you know, two deals into something else. And so the way that I could figure to get into more deals was to help more people and help them see where there was some opportunity, help them see where they could, you know, twist it a different way and see it from a different view or, you know, make more money out of it. And so many people want to get started. So many people have this crazy itch that they just want to be into real estate, but they didn't have a mom like I did that said, yeah, go buy real estate. You know, a lot of people had a mom that said, oh, no, that's dangerous. You don't want to do that. But then, what, like 80% of all millionaires are in real estate? So there's some
right.
There's some conflict out in the market, and I felt like I could help people. And I'm a broker. I'm an auctioneer. I'm a general contractor. I got lots of licenses and certifications and stuff. But that's not what trained me to become a real estate investor. Actually, getting out and getting my feelings hurt made me a better investor. And I've learned a lot. And I also learned that if you speak regular English, your sellers and your buyers will respect you and want to work with you more than if you come out like a professor teaching little real estate seminars. And I saw a lot of people doing that. And so I want to work with people to help them get the deals done and not be sleazy and slimy about it, because you just don't need to be. You need to be yourself.
Right.
And you get way more deals done.
How do people find time to do that when they already have a full-time job or two and the kids and Little League and, you know, ballet and all the different activities they have? How do they find time to get involved in real estate?
One of the best things that I have in my program, and I absolutely love this thing, and it's super cheesy, but the silly thing works. I've got a button. It's a yellow and black button that says, I buy houses. And all it does, you can wear it on a jacket, you can wear it on a shirt, you can wear it to the office, you can wear it to the ball games and to ballet and wherever you're going. And all it does is break the ice and let people know that you want to be a real estate investor or that you are a real estate investor. And they will come up to you. So you don't have to go finding people. You don't have to send out a bunch of mailers. You don't have to post on Craigslist and hunt Zillow all the time, all day long. If you wear this button, I've experienced it myself. My husband's doing a little challenge right now to see how many leads, how many deals he can get in 10 days just wearing this button. Because it works. People have real estate problems. And once they realize that you're probably somebody they can talk to about these problems, they just start confessing all their real estate sins to you. You don't have to do anything. You just add it into your regular life. And yeah, you might have to leave early for the ball game so you can drive by and look at a house and make an offer. But that probably means you just don't watch TV or, you know, you don't waste some time on Facebook. You get out there and make the deals happen.
And that is like the number one thing that holds most entrepreneurs back that are struggling. One of the first questions, how much TV do you watch? Oh, I don't watch much.
Oh.
Hey, have you seen this? And I'm like, have you seen Breaking Bad? Or have you seen, oh, I binged watch that. And I'm like, what the hell? I mean, how do you get anything done if you're binge watching TV?
How many deals did you miss because you were watching Breaking Bad? And I've watched Breaking Bad. It's a really great show. It's got a lot of good entrepreneur tips in it. But, you know, maybe not the ones that you want. But still, when you were there, how much opportunity did you miss out on?
Yeah.
It kills
that's
me.
That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing that's changed for me in 16 years is the amount of TV that I watch is, like, almost nil. Like, you know, I mean, I think, especially now that CNBC replaced Shark Tank, you can watch that anytime. Like 8:30 last night, I was just vegging out, and I turned it on because I just like watching those deals. Half an hour later, I was going to bed, right, because I'm a very early riser. It's just like, so I'm not going to say I don't turn the TV on because I do, but I don't sit there watching 3, 4, 5 hours of TV a week, let alone in a day.
There's too much to do out in this world. There's too much to see. There's, you know, I don't like it. I don't like it. I quit watching TV when I got started. Did it?
Well, I can see what.
Oh goodness!
Oh my goodness! I love talking with you. So listen, I want to have you back at some point, maybe in a few months, because I feel like we didn't cover enough ground. But I love your story. I love the whole family aspect. I mean, you're definitely somebody I can tell who just says, screw it, I'm going to jump in and figure it out. I'll either swim or get eaten by the alligators, right? So it's really exciting. How can people connect with you and learn more about you and your endless energy, which is apparent to everybody?
I have a free Facebook group where I give a lot of creative financing tips and tidbits and tell my stories every day. You can go to WhitneyNicely.com/group. And it'll reroute you into become a real estate rock star with Whitney Nicely.
That's it. Okay. Well, Whitney, it's been a real pleasure connecting with you today. Thanks for coming on the program.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'll try to be on time next time.
It's okay. My day is so regimented. I start at 8:30. I finish at 6. It's like either every half hour or 40 minutes I have something. So I tend to eke out when it's like 2 minutes. I always think it's like a communication error or a time zone thing. So
yeah.
Anyway, no big deal. It was a great interview. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, thanks, everybody, for coming to another great episode of Dream Business Radio. Thanks to Dream Business Academy for sponsoring the show. Again, you get $100 off the coupon. It's $100 off your registration using the coupon code podcast at dreambizacademy.com. Thank you to my team for making what I do appear so effortless. Too bad they can't help me with my speaking sometimes. But come back this time next week for another great episode of Dream Business Radio. Until then, I'm your host, Jim Palmer, the Dream Business Coach, and I am committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. You take good care.